It's time to hear from the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you and appreciate you, Lord, right from January once again up to this time. Thank you for all the messages you have passed across here on this altar. We thank you for the word you have planted. Thank you for what you are about to do right now and what you are going to do for the rest of the year. We thank you, Lord. We only plant, you water it. As we go into your word, whatever you have for people today, you yourself, you will plant it deeply in each heart in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray, as I continue to pass the message across, let your Holy Spirit continue to guide and direct my utterances in the mighty name of Jesus. And as I pass the message across, as it's going deep into your heart, it shall not escape through the other side of you in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. During the announcement, I said I will come back to promise of the week. You will know why I'm saying I'm coming back to it, but that will be later on. Because this message was as a result of what happened here on this altar sometimes back. I think about 2 months now. During one of our brother Bramakos was giving one message tied to our days and number. And in that particular message at the beginning, he asked a very important question. And that question is, how are you preparing yourself? He said our days are numbers. And now he asked the question, how are you preparing yourself? Since that day, something keeps telling me this question you need to ask once again. And I started putting things together. I had an opportunity of passing the message across sometimes back, but I felt that it is not yet time to do that. God makes things happen in his own time. Amen? So the title for my message today is, how are you preparing yourself? There's a popular song in my country which says that, whether you like or not, Jesus is coming back. Whether you like or not, Jesus is coming back. Whether you like or not, Jesus is coming soon. Whether you like or not, Jesus is coming soon. Brethren, Jesus is coming back. Life is a journey. And every journey requires preparation, right? For those who want to travel today, if you are traveling today, I'm sure you are not just start packing your things. Not last minute. You started packing. I could see some people who want to travel by December. Already they started packing their luggages. This will go, that will go. 3 months. So they know when they are going to travel. For this journey of the spiritual journey, as we expect Jesus Christ, we don't know when he's coming. He himself make it clear that yes, he will come like a thief. Hallelujah. So preparation is very important in everything that we do. An athlete, or athletes generally, preparing for competition like Olympic. Believe me, many of them prepare even for 2 years. Olympic is every 4 years. You see some start preparing now for that competition. Look at the student. They will not read only during the exam. They have to prepare. For the Indian school, I think maybe the exam is still going on. The parents know what they are going through. For the teachers that are here, you know how you prepare your students because you don't want them to fail. So, every traveler, every athlete, every teacher, every student, they all prepare for what they want to do. Likewise, as Christians, we are on a spiritual journey towards the eternity. The question is, how are you preparing yourself? All Christians, we need to take this question very seriously. If the Lord Jesus returns tonight or right now, will you be able to go with him? Is your preparation enough? Is it qualify you to go along with him? How ready are you? If the trumpet sound in this hour, will you rise to meet him or will you be left behind? These are the questions that you need to begin to ask yourself. Like I said, we live in a world where people spend more time in preparation. Those that go to space, they prepare for the rocket for many years before they finally launch it. At times they fail. You will not fail in Jesus' name. In the preparation for the eternity, you will not fail in the mighty name of Jesus. But mostly, most preparation in this world are mainly for earthly things. And preparation determines the outcome of what you are expecting. Look at a pilot. No matter how experienced a pilot is, he will always make sure that he checks everything. He has the checklist of his training for that flight. He will never neglect any preparation. Why? Because any small mistake is a costly accident. We all know what air traffic means. So, we prepare for many things. On the secular part of the world also, you are going for an interview. You prepare yourself because you may not know the direction they are coming for. If you don't prepare, if you call yourself a contract manager or a commercial manager and you don't prepare towards that interview, there are some simple questions they will ask you that will turn you upside down. So we prepare for many things. What about our weddings? We prepare for weddings. Even though it's going to be a day celebration, but we have serious planning. Oh, am I going to do it? Oh, I will not be disappointed. Are these people coming? So many things will keep coming into your mind as you prepare. So, preparation is very, very important. What about the business people also? They prepare. But what about the most important preparation? Our preparation for the eternity. My question once again to you is, how are you preparing yourself for the eternity? You see, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about watchfulness, readiness, preparation, because timing of his return is unknown. In Matthew 24, verse 42, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. We don't know that hour that the Lord is coming. So that means you have to be watchful. With the help of Holy Spirit, that's why I'm reminding you now to determine, to prepare your mind that Jesus Christ can come at any time. How prepared are you? Because preparation requires watchfulness. Preparation requires watchfulness. You need to be watchful of what you are doing. Be watchful of his coming. He can come like a thief in the night. Preparation requires watchfulness. There's a Bible story which we quickly run through now. That will be taken from Matthew chapter 25 from verse 1 to 13.
Matthew chapter 25 verse 1 to 13 reads, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took the oil in jars along with the lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At night, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed the lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go out to those who sell oil and bring some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, "Open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
Keep watch. Preparation requires watchfulness. Keep watch. In this story, it's a common story that we all know. The 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were fools. One thing I want you to know is that every one of them have the lamp. And they were all waiting for the bridegroom. But what was different? The difference is that the wise one had oil in their lamp, while the foolish one had none. And suddenly the midnight cry came. "Behold, the bridegroom comes." And suddenly the foolish one realized that, yes, they had made a mistake. It was too late for them. They could not. Brothers and sisters, this is the picture of what we have in the church today. Many carry the lamp of religion, but lack the oil of the Spirit of God. Many come to church singing, carry Bible, but the oil of intimacy is missing. Brethren, the intimacy with Christ, the oil of intimacy with Christ is missing. The voice, "I don't know you," shall never voice to you in the mighty name of Jesus. So as follower of Christ, you cannot prepare for something without expectation. The question is that, what is your expectation? What is your expectation? Because preparation begins with expectation. Preparation begins with what? Expectation. Matthew 25 verse 1, brother.
Matthew 25 verse 1 from NIV reads, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom."
The expectation here is what? To meet the bridegroom. Expectation will always shape your preparation. The level of what you are expecting will shape how prepared you are. If you truly believe Jesus is coming back, the choice of life that you live, the choice of what you believe, will determine your expectation. Many do sometimes say, "Okay, I will prepare later." But later is not guaranteed. The trumpet can sound at any time. Our journey can end at any time. So how prepared are you? Like I said earlier on, a student who is preparing for exam, he cannot start that preparation on that very day. Praise the Lord. So, don't be caught unaware. Preparation is very, very important. The oil represents the spiritual readiness. Matthew 24 verse 4.
Matthew 24 verse 4 reads, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps."
Because the wise took oil in their vessel because they have expectation, and that expectation is to meet with the bridegroom. Do you live each day as if you expect to see Jesus soon? The oil represents the spiritual readiness. The oil represents the prayers. It represents the word of God. It represents the obedience. And it also represents holiness. That oil. Preparation, as you prepare, what next? It requires consistency. Preparation requires what? Consistency. Consistency in what? Consistency in prayer. Consistency in worship. Consistency in Bible study. There are how we keep. This is how we will keep the oil in our lamps. Otherwise, it will dry up. You might put oil in your lamp after a long period without checking. The process of evaporation can take place and it can dry up. That is why consistency in prayer is very important. In worship, in Bible study, they are all very important because these are what keep the oil in your lamp flowing. Preparation is not a one-time event. It is a daily discipline for all believers. It is something that, as a believer, that you must prepare every time. Now, listen. I want you to know that preparation is what? Preparation is personal. Preparation is personal. I cannot prepare for you. The wise virgin could not share their own oil because it may not be enough. So, whatever preparation you are making is personal. Nobody can prepare for you. This is different from when husband and wife want to travel. You pack your luggages and you help your spouse to pack. So you prepare. Oh, my husband is very busy. Let me pack the luggage. In this journey, that will never happen. You have to prepare yourself. So, how prepare you? Preparation is personal. Pastor Abraham cannot prepare for you. Your pastor's prayer life cannot save you. If we call prayer point here, you pray, or pastor in his close home, pray on your behalf. That cannot save you. Preparation is personal. Pastor prayer's life cannot save you. Even our parent faith. My father is a pastor. He's an evangelist. My mother is an evangelist. That will never help. Preparation, your parent faith cannot carry you. Your parent faith cannot carry you. So you need to prepare yourself. You must prepare for yourself. So there is no way that anybody will do that for you. How prepare are you? You have to prepare for yourself. The question is, do you have enough oil in your lamp? Are you awake or are you slumbering? In 1 Thessalonians verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 6, say what?
So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober.
You have to be awake and sober. Preparation requires perseverance. Preparation requires what? Perseverance.
Matthew 24:13. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved.
Preparation is not a one-time event, as I said earlier on. It is never a one-time event. Next slide, sister. Preparation is not a one-time event. It is not about starting well. It is about finishing well. That's what it means. Look at the five foolish virgins. They were there at the beginning. They started well. But at the end of the day, they were locked out because their preparation was not enough. Let me go back a little bit to the Israelites. When the rain of manna was coming from heaven. They never rely on yesterday's bread. They have to go for new one. Whatever preparation you have made yesterday is not enough. You have to persevere. You have to continue. You have to continue in that preparation. You also don't rely on yesterday's oil. You need a fresh oil every time. Never rely on the past oil. That means, because devil is looking whom to draw back. Don't allow devil to draw you back. Let your oil keep flowing. Amen? So, preparation requires daily prayer. It requires daily prayer. Preparation requires constant feeding on the word of God. And that is why every Friday you hear messages from here. But that is not enough. You read the scripture yourself. You read the Bible yourself. The story you have read before. Pray and ask Holy Spirit to guide you, to interpret it more for you. So preparation requires constant feeding on the word of God. Preparation requires fellowship with the brethren. Just as we are fellowshipping with each other. In our own cell, we fellowship together. After the service, we fellowship with others. You can't stand alone. When you share your mind about the word of God, you will see the other side. God will interpret it more for you. The Bible says, where two or three gather together in my name, is always there. This also attached to the preparation. It is not a one-man show that you keep preparing alone. Yes, you can prepare for yourself, but at the same time, encourage yourself, fellowship with other brethren. I'm going to talk about talent later on, about this. So, there are some preparation you are preparing for yourself that others also can benefit from. You can share your testimony. Somebody will pick something from there and say, yes, let me also prepare in this way. People learn from each other. So, preparation requires fellowship with each other. Preparation requires standing firm, even in trials. Challenges will come. People will talk. So many things will happen. People will challenge you. Are you the only one? You want to sleep in the church all the time? Why are you always praying all the time? This is an attempt to puncture the tank of your oil. Don't allow that to happen. Fellowship with one another. Stand firmly even when there are trials. Some started well with fire of God. But because they are not firm, they are not taking the decision. They got a particular junction. They were in dilemma. They don't know which side to go. Should I go this way or go that way? They were confused. And the devil thought, keep coming. At this point in time, when you find yourself in such situation, kneel down on your own and pray and say, God, help me. You can call anybody, your leaders, your prayer leaders. This is what I'm going through. They will guide you. Require fellowship with one another. Preparation requires us to be firm. Maybe you used to pray very well. Now you are silent. Because somebody is discouraging you. Maybe you are serving one ministry or the other before. Because you felt that your ministry leader is looking at you one kind. Then you say you are not doing it again. You are not doing it for anybody. You are doing it for God. The leader is just there to guide. So, don't feel exhausted wherever you have been serving. Brothers and sisters, you need to return to your first love and keep pressing forward. You keep pressing forward. Keep preparing. And God himself will continue to show you mercy in Jesus' name. Keep pressing until the end. And you'll be justified in the mighty name of Jesus. So preparation requires consistency and persistence in worship. Look at Paul and Silas. They were chained down. That never stopped them. They keep praying. They keep worshiping God. And at the end of the day, they were set free. And not just that, when they were delivered, by the time they went to meet other people, even the person that opened the gate could not even wait. That got to it, she did not even open the gate. She ran back and said, Peter and Silas are here. God will give you testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. Preparation is very, very important. Be satisfied in worship regardless of pain or disappointment that you may have. Don't allow the challenges you are facing through to break the flow of oil in you. The pipe of oil is already connected. When you allow that pain to pull the saw and start up and down and cut it, it is very dangerous. That Lord will continue to help you and me in Jesus' name. So, when God tests your heart, be sure you will pass that test. Because some of the challenges we will face might be a test of faith. People have shared testimony here. When I lost my job sometimes back, my wife keeps saying, yes, God has a purpose of allowing this to happen. To me, I'm just thinking, okay, God has a purpose. But to me, sometimes devil will come and say, What purpose? After throwing you out of job. She used to tell me, be sure of. That is why many people don't know. And I keep saying, I hold on to that. It's for the higher level. To God be the glory today. Because when God draws you back, when he releases you, you will be propelled beyond the imagination of even your friend, not to talk of your enemy. Prepare. How prepare are you? Hallelujah. So, sometimes you are preparing the pipe for the anointing is connected. It's not 50mm pipe. Brother Marcus, talk about pipe one time. If you see the water people or the oil and gas people, their pipe is very big. Determined to have that kind of pipe. The flow, the pressure of your oil. Even by the time the bridegroom comes, say, welcome a good servant. But it depends on how prepared you. Times and conditions matters when it comes to welcome a good servant. That voice, truly, I tell you, I don't know you, shall never voice to you in Jesus' name. This will happen when you have bigger pipe to connect to your lamp. I was asking one of man who worked with me here, I said, do you know what kerosene lamp means? The lantern. He's a small boy. He has never heard about kerosene in his life. Not to talk about lantern. I have to goggle it and show it to him. In those days, when you put kerosene in that lamp, it will be burning after some time. When the kerosene is getting finished, what happened? It keep going down. It keep going down. After some time, the kerosene dry. And you will see the flame will be off, but the fire is still there. That fire that is still there, once the flame is off, even if you put kerosene, it will not ignite again. You have to put another fire. That is why don't allow the level of your preparation to get below that. Let that flame be blowing. How will this happen? Connect a bigger pipe of oil to flow through that. And how will this happen? It is through your preparation. Okay, you can prepare to receive a conduit pipe. For those that are engineers, they know what I'm talking about. A pipe. This stand of the camera is pipe. If you like, let the size of your supply be like that. But think of a bigger one. Because when you have a bigger connection, believe me, even devil will be feared to come closer to you. So, when God tests your heart, be sure you pass his head. Because preparation requires purity. Preparation requires purity. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, brother.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21 reads, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work.
Sister, go back a little bit to the clay only. In the slide. Just go. Yeah. God is not looking for just any vessel. As you have heard from that. He's looking for a clean vessel. I don't know the kind of tank you are using to store your oil. God is looking for a clean vessel. He wants people to have a wash, to have washed their garment in the blood of the Lamb. And living in holy life. Put the slide back. So, God is looking for a clean vessel. Not just ordinary vessel. If you store your oil of preparation in a dirty vessel, it will get contaminated. God is not looking for a contaminated vessel. He's looking for a clean one. He wants people to, I've said that. Holiness. Everything has to be clean. Holiness is not an option. Why? Christ, our holiness. Christ, our holiness.
Hebrews 12 verse 14 reads, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
What is the terms here? For you to see the Lord, what's the terms? Holiness. The terms and condition for you is holiness. In discipleship class, this is a very thing that I always appreciate when we talk about holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You cannot claim to be preparing for the coming of Christ while still living in sin. You can't claim that. You can't hold on to unforgiveness. You can't hold on to lies. You can't hold on to immorality and pride. And yet you are saying you are prepared. You are not prepared. Because that clean vessel is not there. That's where you are storing your oil of preparation is dirty. God is not looking for such vessel. God is looking for the clean vessel. It is pride. If you have all those things, your expectation is not to see Christ. An athlete, again, I go back to the athletes that run the race. They cannot attach big load, or let me say big weight, to their legs. They will not be able to move. The same thing, when all these things I mentioned, even beyond that, unforgiveness, lies, immorality, pride, when they are attached to you, these are nails that puncture the tank of your preparation. Don't allow that to come over to you. And God will continue to keep you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hebrews 12 once again. Say what?
Hebrews 12 once says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race set before us.
Hallelujah. Whatever is the weight that can draw you back, let's lay aside every weight. Every sin that can easily move you away from that path that God has placed you. Beloved, the question for you is, are you a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor? Are you prepared in purity? Are you prepared in purity? Because all these things, that the weight of those things that can draw you back, we form a distraction. That is why preparation requires removing of distraction. Distraction will always be there. Maybe you are the type that pray in your office when you get to the office. You come early in the morning and you are entering your office. Some distraction might be somebody already waiting for you. He just wants you to miss the prayer point on that very day. He wants to distract you. Again, Hebrews 12:1. In another one.
Hebrews 12:1 reads, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles.
Some people fail to prepare not because they are unaware, but because they are distracted. By what? By sin. They are distracted by sin. They fail. Some fail because they are distracted by the worldly priority. What do you prioritize? By worldly priority, they were distracted by busyness. Some felt, okay, I'm busy. Come for Thursday intercession. Believe me, we need to pray. Especially in Thursday intercession. Don't allow busyness that I'm too busy. I agree, many of us, we work very late. Yes, but for those that have the opportunity, don't allow that to distract things away from you. That Thursday intercessory meeting might be the one that God really wants to visit you. These are distractions that take us away from what God has planned for us. They fail because of their worldly power, priorities. Sin, business, and worldly priority, all this can steal the time meant for God. The time you supposed to have for God, all of these things can distract you. They can take them away from you. They can take your time. Look at a soldier who has been distracted during training. We fail on the battlefield. Self-check. What habit or relationship are pulling you away from the spiritual focus? Brethren, don't allow any distraction to take you away from the assignment or from your preparation, so that the voice, truly, I tell you, I don't know you, will never voice to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Preparing your heart. Your heart, as I talk to you now, I know God is ministering to you. Because preparation begins inwardly, not outward. It is right inside your heart that you will take that decision. Why am I doing this? If Jesus comes now, will he count me worthy to go with him? Proverbs 4, verse 23, brother.
Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
Guide your heart. Everything you do flows through it. The state of your heart matters. In Samuel, I'm not going to that. 1 Samuel in chapter 7, 1 to 4 and 9 to 12. Though the God's presence was with Israel, they could not. They could not enjoy it because their heart clung to idol. The presence of God is always with the children of Israel. But they could not because they cling on to the idols. Before we can experience a favorable and good things relationship with God, our heart must be in the right position before him. Our heart must be in the right position. So, how do we prepare our heart? How do we prepare our heart? Way to prepare your heart: daily repentance, and confession of sin, surrendering bitterness, pride, and worldly distractions. Surrender all those things. Then you need to cultivate a life of prayer. You need to cultivate a life of thanksgiving. This will help you in your preparation. And that brings me back to the promise for this week. Like I said, this message, I started preparing it when Brother Marcus was here. When Pastor shared the promise of the week to the leaders of the church, when I saw it, I said, yes, this is the right time that God really wants me to talk about this message. Because he never knew about what I'm going to talk about. And look at the promise for the week.
1 Peter verse 4, 7 to 8. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins.
You see, Apostle Peter has given us a sobering reminder. Here, there are two things I want us to notice there. Two things. Point to note. Yes, two things to note. One, Apostle Peter connects the urgency of the end with the call to prayer. The connection of the urgency of the end with the call to prayer. And if we truly believe that the Lord is coming soon, then prayer must be the engine of our preparation. The engine of our preparation has to be prayer. See how how Peter connected. I'm not talking about casual prayer here, but earnest, disciplined prayer that keep our hearts in alignment with God. That keep our heart in alignment with God. The point number two that Peter mentioned here, he said, above all what? Who remember? Above all what? I think it's project. Are we scared to read it? Oh, you don't want to love one another. Above all, love one another. Just love one another. Deeply. In women ministry Monday program, there are so many cases, court cases here, as you have seen. All the cases were dismissed by the judge. Why? Because they forgive each other and they embrace each other. Because love was the central in their relationship. Above all, love one another. Why? Because love reflects Christ. No matter what that person has done for you, if you love him deeply, the love of Christ will be reflected. And love is a mark of true readiness. A heart filled with bitterness, unforgiving, or hatred cannot prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remove everything from your mind. Prepare for the coming of Christ. But a heart that loves will always remain watchful and ready. That is what the promise for this week is telling you. I won't take it beyond this week. The promise for this month. Above all, love one another deeply. What is this one saying is that if you look at the first part where it says, it connects the urgency of the prayer with the urgency of the end with the prayer. He wants you to pray earnestly. He wants you to pray every time. But prayer is not enough. He says above all, love is very important. So brethren, let us love one another, not on the surface. Not when you see me, you just smile at me. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. No. Deeper love. That when you see me in trouble, you're also ready to stand in the gap. Hallelujah. I appreciate one thing in this church. The moment we find somebody in trouble, we have brethren that go behind and see that, yes, that person is out of it. And when the leadership of church is to be connected, also they get them connected. That this is the situation of things. God will continue to bless you all in Jesus' name. So as you prepare your heart, remember to pray earnestly and to walk in love. For prayer keeps you close to God and love keeps you right with others. Preparation requires purposeful service. Preparation requires what? Purposeful service. Luke 12, verse 43.
Luke 12, verse 43 reads, "It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns."
Christ will not only ask you, "Were you holy?" but also, "Were you faithful?" That question is going to come. So, how are you using the God-given gift that he has given to you? Do you bury them? Do you bury your talent like that lazy servant in Matthew 25? Or are you multiplying it in a geometrical way for the master's glory? Preparation is not just about sitting idle in the church of God. Find where he's at work. Join him to do that work. That is part of the preparation. It is about working while it is day. For the night comes when no man can walk. That time is coming. That you will not be able to do anything. That is John 9:4. I just mentioned now. So how do you do this? How do you use your talent? How do you use what God has given unto you? Feed the hungry. As you serve, feed the hungry. Not just food. Feed them with the word of God. It's part of preparation. The more you feed, the more also you also learn. Visit the sick. Preach the gospel. Encourage the brethren. Serve in the church. Love your neighbors. And love yourself. Hallelujah. Use your time, your resources, your talent to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because one day, Master will ask you, what did you do with what I gave to you? So, what is the preparation timeline? Next slide. What is the preparation timeline? Preparation is now. The road is long. Because, why preparation is now? Because preparation is urgent. Preparation is what? It's urgent. Why is it urgent? You can see from the scripture there. Matthew 25:10.
Matthew 25:10 reads, "But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut."
The door was shut. Five virgins. It was too late. The door will never shut against you in Jesus' name. There will be a time that will be too late for you and me. Get, it is urgent. You need to prepare now. Many of us, we think we have more time. But be part of that wise ones. Prepare now. Prepare now out of fear. We are prepared not out of fear, but because we love and honor the Lord. The best day to get right with God is not tomorrow. It is today. Because preparation is necessary. Preparation is important. Jesus tells us to be watchful and ready. Matthew 24:44.
Matthew 24:24 reads, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect."
You cannot face tomorrow's challenge with yesterday's preparation. So preparation is necessary now. Preparation is a proof of expectation. What you are expecting. So if you truly love Christ, Christ's return, you will prepare diligently. In conclusion, how are you preparing yourself? How are you preparing yourself spiritually, emotionally, morally? Do you have expectation? Are you consistent in your preparation? Or is there anything distracting you? I know the preparation is urgent. When the bridegroom comes, will your lamp be burning bright? Luke 12:35-36, quickly, brother.
Luke 12:35-36 reads, "Be dressed ready for service."
Be ready for the service.
"And keep your lamps burning."
Keep your lamp burning. How? Connect to the right oil. Okay? Read on.
"Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him."
Hallelujah. So I ask you once again, how are you preparing yourself? Are you watchful or you are asleep? Are you pure or are you living in compromise? Are you preserving or have you grown sleepy? Are you serving or are you idle? Beloved, the midnight cry will soon come. The trumpet will soon sound. In your heart, take that decision. Don't be like the foolish virgins. Find yourself among the right one. Surrender your mind to God. Surrender yourself to Christ. Ask for forgiveness of your sin to cleanse you, to clean your lamp, so that the fresh oil will continue to remain fresh. This is the message for you. And I thank God that you are here today to hear this message. May God bless His word. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for the timely message. As we are in the last days. Dear Church, it's a time for us to prepare for the Lord's table. as almost 45 minutes we heard about how to prepare, what to prepare, and now it's a time for us to prepare for the Lord's table. I read the scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from 23 onwards. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgments to himself, nor discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge yourself, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." About this Lord's Supper, the last month I gave a very elaborated message on it. And though I have not completed fully, but all of you, month after month, we are hearing. And we should remember why we are doing it and how we are doing it. And as we heard today, it's not possible to take part in this Lord's table without the preparation. The first preparation is, as you accepted the Lord, confess your sins before him, and testify of your acceptance and forgiveness through the water baptism. That is only the beginning. But whenever we come, so the preparation is, as we heard from this message itself, it should be every day. Confession and forgiveness should be every day. If that is the case, how much it is important when we stand before the Lord's table. Once again, quickly I go for it and remind you if you have forgotten. So here the elements, the bread and wine is there. Bread represents the body of Christ, and the wine represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why we do this? It is first thing, the meaning is we have to take this with thanksgiving. And why? This is what they said. Christ instructed us to give thanks to God both for his body and the blood. Secondly, it is a memorial, as it was already done. Do this in remembrance of me. Every time we remember Christ who died so we could free from sin. And we are commanded to remember. It is not optional. We are commanded to remember His death. And we remember His death not once a year, but every day. Thirdly, it is a proclamation about the future. You proclaim the Lord's death. Whenever you come together here, reminded of, we are expected to proclaim His death to the world. And the future is the anticipation. How? We have to do this till He comes. So every time when we come, we anticipate the Lord is coming. As the memory and the promise of this week also reminds us, He's coming soon. It was said when He was on the earth itself. So in that way, our anticipation should be there. The Lord, our Lord is going to come. And it has to be taken with reverence. It should not be taken lightly. And it has to be done together, at the same time with self-examination. And as a fellowship, we'll share together among us, believing that even the Lord Jesus Christ also with us. So keep this in remembrance and prepare yourselves in your heart before you come. And if you sense that there is an unforgiven sin in you, time to confess before Him. Get assured that God has forgiven you. If you are free from guilt, you are free to come and take part in this Lord's table. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for this day. Thank You for this table. Thank You for the bread and wine, which reminds us of Your body and blood. Thank You that You prepared us physically. You prepared us spiritually. Lord, You spoke to us and reminded us how we should prepare. Very specially, as we are coming together to take part in this, Lord, we pray, bless the bread and wine. As we are going to take part in this, Lord, You impart blessings to our life, and it will remind us about Your suffering, Your death, Your resurrection, and Your coming. Help us to do this until You come. Thank You for the great hope and the faith You have given us. Help us to remain with this hope, with this faith, as You want us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen. As the ushers are going to help you, please come in queue. The Lord's table, let us have together.
Hallelujah. Let's rise up. And as we rise up, let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. So remember what you have received. Or in some translations it says, remember how you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour, it's not what day, it's what hour I will come to you. Just going back to what we heard, am I prepared? Am I watchful? Am I persevering? Am I pure? Am I serving? Am I only prepared with yesterday's preparation? Remember what we heard. Yesterday's preparation cannot help me to meet tomorrow's challenges. And grace has been made available today. Grace has been made available today at this table. I want also us to look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 3. Even if you are dimly burning today, even if your oil is not flowing today, by the virtue of this communion, God is renewing you to a fresh level of preparedness. Amen. Isaiah 42 verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. A dimly burning wick. Are you a dimly burning wick? You have come to the table of strength today. You have taken of his life today. You have been made alive by him. May his spirit quicken you and me towards preparedness of meeting him in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, O God, for you are God who's so faithful, who's so mindful of your church. Thank you once again, O Lord God, for reminding us that your coming is near. Father, help us. Help us to take advantage of what we have been fed by today. Your word and your elements that we have profited from today. Lord, let it help us in being prepared for you in the name of Jesus. Father, that the way that we came is not the same way that we will be going back in the name of Jesus. But Lord, that you will help us to be quickened, to be quickened, to be prepared, to be awake, not to be sleepy, O Lord God, not to be careless, O Lord God, not to be distracted, my Father. But we have received life from you today to be awake, to be watchful, to be persevering, to be serving you, O Lord God, to be expectant of you. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your body that you broke for us. Thank you for your blood that we have received yet again as life. Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Father, I speak, O Lord God, into the week ahead. Father, that it will not dry us in the place of prayer. Father, that it will not weaken our knees. It will not drain our love away. But Lord, as we have taken from your table, we have fresh strength to overcome in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have asked, prayed, and received. Amen and amen. Let's share the grace. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Go in the new strength of the Lord. Amen.